we are starting with the issue of children of first responders. Children of first responders. First responders always come to our aid in our time of need. But who was there for the children of first responders? I'm starting out this morning with a guest who's standing by from a wonderful organization. She is the president and CEO of the First Responders Children's Foundation, a national organization that started in 2001 to help the children of first responders who lost a parent on 9/11. Joining us right now is the president and CEO of the organization, Jillian Crane. Good morning, and thank you for appearing.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for having First Responders Children's Foundation on your show.
You are doing wonderful work, and it seems to me that at times society forgets that first responders have families and first responders have children. Explain to me what exactly is the First Responders Children's Foundation.
I think you are 100% right about that. And I think COVID and all of the aftermath of that really taught people how much we rely on the first responders in our local communities, and that they have children and families who they often leave at home to go run into danger for the people in their communities. And that is exactly what the foundation is supporting. And I'll just tell you, we started 21 years ago now as a response to the attacks on the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001, where the children were left behind. So 800 children lost a first responder parent on that day. And that was the impetus for this foundation, which has then gone on to grow into a national foundation where we have programs and support for first responder families around the country.
It is wonderful what you're doing. Each year, approximately, do you know how many first responders die a year, unfortunately?
Yes. So we've had, you bring up a good point. We have a program, which is our bereavement program. So every day, unfortunately, it's many days of the week, we do hear about line of duty deaths around the country. And if they have children, we reach out immediately. And we do support them with a bereavement grant when we can, which is as often as possible. So in the last year and a half, see, now we just have the numbers, there's almost 500 line of duty deaths, which is including police, fire, EMS. Obviously, during COVID, you know, the numbers were higher. But there are also a lot of, unfortunately, you know, suicides that are happening in the first responder community now. And it's really, most people don't think of that, but it's really happening more often than not. And they leave family behind. And oftentimes, if there's a gap between when they might receive funds and what they need with their families right away. So that is what the foundation works very hard to support with the bereavement grant.
And that's wonderful because, you know, until you're in a situation, we don't understand what it requires. And a first responder, he or she dies. And I don't think the general public understands fully that immediately thousands and thousands of dollars are needed just to bury that individual. And so you're offering grants to families of first responders who unfortunately have passed away.
I mean, the funeral itself, and then, you know, there, I will not going to say any names, but there was an FDNY EMS, you know, 17 years in the FDNY, he died, and he left four children behind. So it was the utility bills and the food on the table and, you know, child care, because now the parent had to go out and work, the single parent. So these are things that, you know, they don't have the funding for right away. And it takes time for the benefits to kick in. Insurance ends at midnight when a first responder dies, insurance ends for them. So health insurance. So it's just really, there's a lot that needs to be covered. And, you know, we don't advertise that so much, but we really need support there because it's a worthy thing to say that we're helping the children and families of first responders when they terribly, horribly make the ultimate sacrifice were there. And the other thing I wanted to tell you, because it just happened the other day, is that our scholarships, which is really how the foundation started, our scholarship link is now live. And for any first responder who hears this program that you're playing now, has a child who's going to trade school, university, graduate school, they can now apply for a scholarship.
And that's wonderful as well. And I'm going to circle back to that. We are chatting with the president and CEO, a wonderful person doing really God's work, Julian Crane, of the First Responders Children's Foundation. So I was looking at your website, and it's a great website, and I want you to give out the web address and how folks can contact you and how the public can help. But I want you to focus on this as well. One quote on the website stood out at me from a Delilah, a daughter of a police officer. And she's quoted as saying, "I know when my father leaves for his shift, there's always a chance I may never see him again."
Yes. And these children of first responders feel that so much more now. I think you saw the kinds of social media and sort of media in general around both the pandemic. You know, there are wildfires and hurricanes and civil unrest, things happening around the country. And these kids hear about it, and they're more and more aware of what the dangers are, the uncertainty that these children live in on a daily basis. It's huge. And I think it's one of the reasons during COVID we started to see, obviously, the mental health issues around children and families of first responders, the whole country, of course, all of us and our children, but especially these kids who are watching their parents leave every day, and they actually don't know, is my parent going to come home? Are they going to be hurt? Is something terrible going to happen? And then the stress that puts on the first responder parent. And then they bring that stress home to the family. It's very difficult because it transfers to the kids. And we've noticed an uptick of mental health and wellness issues in that area. So we've actually launched a mental health program, which started in last May. And we're in 6 states, and we're providing free counseling. Free confidential counseling with trauma-based therapists and culturally competent therapists in this area, first responders. So I'm really excited that we're starting to help in that way, because we all know mental health, even our own mental health right now, is not great.
Yes.
So
yes.
You bring up a really good point on the quote. There is a huge stress, unique challenges for the children of first responders, and that's why we're here.
So before I continue, and I'm going to come right back to mental health, but what's the website, and how can the general public help the First Responders Children's Foundation?
Thank you for asking. So you can look up First Responders Children's Foundation on Google, and that will just take you to the website. Or the website is the number one ST, so first, the number one strcf.org. And if you go there, you can find ways to contribute or volunteer, get in touch with us, tell us what your interests are, what programs you might want to support. And we will very graciously speak to you about anything regarding the first responder community and how you can get engaged with us. But I will add one other thing. If everyone just, tells their local firehouses and police departments and ambulance drivers about us, we have programming for them, their families. And so if you go to the website and see their programming, you can let people know that you meet on the street who are first responders, that, you know, there are programs for their families through the First Responders Children's Foundation.
It's wonderful what you're doing. And I want to circle back to something you just talked about. You offer, and I believe you said in 8 states it's available. I think that's what you said. You offer free mental health counseling.
But I want to be in 8 states. I love how aspiration you are. We want to be in 8 states, Dominic, so we're in 6. But yes,
in 6.
I like it.
well, we'll have you in 8 very soon. So you're in 6 states. But trauma, these are issues that are very near and dear to my heart. And you're offering trauma counseling to children of first responders. What made you step up and do exactly that? Because you and I know that it's desperately needed.
It's really needed. In New York City, years ago, we started to see just in the community of the NYPD, FDNY, et cetera, in the first responder community itself, we understood there are some mental health issues that really needed to be addressed. But during COVID, we saw more, as we had applications for our COVID-19 emergency hardship grant, we were getting requests for help to support children with mental health issues and things that were coming up with anxiety, PTSD, transfer of trauma, you know, suicidal. There were just a lot of things happening. And I thought it was important for us, because it's our mission to support first responder families. What do they need? They need mental health support. So we put together a program that provides free 10 counseling sessions for free, confidential, with culturally competent therapists in this area, either virtually or in person in the 6 states. We launched, we've had about now 750 hours of counseling that we've provided. We need more funding for it, but we just saw the need, and I think you can hear now there's more peer-to-peer counseling inside of these agencies, but what no one's really addressing are the children. And so we're taking our mission and saying, well, we're addressing the children. This is what they need, and so we're looking for support in any way that we can find it.
Well, you are the real deal. The website, something else stood out to me. The website said families of first responders should, quote, feel the strength of our community. Feel the strength of our community. I agree with you. And you mentioned this, but just last month, you announced over $1 million for scholarship grants for children of first responders. So elaborate on what you mean by feel the strength of our community.
I love that you picked up on that. You know, we redid our website a little while back because we felt like we needed to address the first responder community specifically and also make it clear what we have to give. The strength of our community is not only the community of first responders that work every day to help the communities they live in, but also the strength of what we can provide. We create a sense of community for those that get involved with the foundation, not only the donors, but because we do this with our donors, because we introduce them to their local fire and police, and as much as we can, we bring them into what we're doing. But the community that we provide, for example, you mentioned the scholarships, which is great. We have the scholarships, and we gave out more than ever last year. But we also started a Scholars Council. So it's the First Responders Children's Foundation Scholars Council. It's the first time we've done this, where now we have 343 kids. By the way, they all wanted to participate, which was shocking. They come on to Zoom calls. They get mentorship. They get to learn how to write resumes and do interviews. We bring in speakers for them to talk to the community about their questions about what to do after college and how people, you know, resiliency is a big thing. Everyone's talking about that. But how do you have setbacks and overcome them? How do you live with anxiety? How do you value yourself? You know, how do you function in the world? And so we're giving them peer-to-peer support. We're bringing in outside counselors, you know, like just to talk to them about what their needs might be. And we're creating community for them. And that's the whole point of it. And I will add, part of the mission is community engagement. So we've been helping as much as we can, starting in the last couple of years, first responders, especially police, go into their community and have and build positive relationships. So we create events where police can go into their communities and bring a toy or have a junior first responders camp. And kids can relate to their local police officers, where you are relating to someone on a level which builds trust. Because we're trying to make it easier for them to have relationships with the communities they serve.
Well, Jillian Crane, we want to thank you for joining us here on WABC. Jillian is the president and CEO of the First Responders Children's Foundation, a national organization that started in 2001 to help the children of first responders.